Da meldet er sich wieder. Das heißt, wenn dieses Geräusch ertönt, dann will der Computer, dass man sich mit ihm befasst. Aber jetzt mache ich den mal aus.
Nichts.
Jetzt mache ich den wieder an. Jetzt hat er sich gemerkt, was in den letzten 4 Jahren alles passiert ist.
Radio Waldhurst Orphan Pi Radio equals Super Radio 2025.
Interessant, ne?
Live from the Super Booth 2025 from a mobile studio.
End of file.
Und da sind wir wieder. I'm so proud to have you here, Jason.
Hello.
Hello. Right next to me, there's Jason sitting from Instru. Most of the people maybe know these beautiful modular elements, but now you got something totally new. It's an incredible standalone.
This is a first for us, and it's kind of been a long couple of years. We've been developing this sort of behind the scenes for quite a bit. So it serves many firsts in terms of a lot of software development and hardware integration. So it's a really exciting device to be able to bring to the market. I've got one set up here at the moment that's just hooked up to my laptop so I can view the control surface. I put out a video of it a few days ago. Where are we at now? We're on the 8th. So yeah, this we launched officially 3 days ago. So last week I was frantically shooting and editing the overview video, which in kind of the fashion that I've been doing for a lot of the modules is I go long form. I guess it's much easier to shoot it's much easier to shoot a long video than it is to shoot a short video. So
I guess. So
they're gradually getting longer each time.
How did you come up with the idea of building a standalone?
I think it's kind of been an overarching plan in the back burner for a while. I think as I sort of got into designing synths, it's... I started with my first analog oscillator and just kept adding to the range, like, you know, create a quantizer, low pass filter, added envelopes, and quite quickly, I think it might even have been, did one of the workshops at Schneidersladen, which was one of the performances and patch demonstrations. And that was one of the first full live set performances, I think, where I was using exclusively an Instru system in Eurorack format.
Yeah.
I maybe had a couple of extra modules just to cover certain bases, but I think the majority was Instru. So I think, like, that's been a goal, is to be able to perform on exclusively my own designs. And this, doing something that's self-contained, like it's built from the ground up and focused on being very much a specific standalone instrument, that's kind of a natural progression from it. So being able to take a lot of the design ethos or just experiments, things that we've trialed over the years, and then fit it into something that I think's an interesting and a very playable and portable form factor. Yeah, it's a new format. Like, a lot of people have been asking if it's 3U, if it's rackable in Eurorack form, but it's the size is essentially random. I think the first prototype I sort of drew out in maybe as far back as 2022. It was a Hammond style guitar pedal enclosure that I just had upside down, and it's like, this is a really nice size of something to, if it were an instrument, it would be quite a nice thing to be able to just sit on the couch and just noodle on. So that became the premise. I laid out a faceplate interface design that was the size of that to fit into that enclosure, and that kind of defined the dimensions of the interface, which what I didn't expect, I think, because at that point I've got quite an extensive range of Eurorack modules on the market, so I'm quite used to 3U as a canvas dimension. So when I'm drawing an interface, I know just from trial and error where I gravitate towards in terms of placement of pots, jacks, faders, and how the spacing could work. So I know the height, I know that I can expand horizontally, but going to what became the C-shell interface, It's completely arbitrary. It's just a smaller size face plate. Yeah. So I use certain spacings that are consistent from older modules. So the Troika being my first oscillator, it's got three horizontally laid out versions of the same oscillator, and I kind of use that spacing between the two cores that are on the seashell. And it's a very non-scientific approach that I take to designing an interface, where I lay things out and kind of just squint at it, and when it's sitting at a position where I don't feel like there are any glaringly obvious gaps or size constraints, then I think I'm on the right track. And then I jump to hardware quite quickly, so I've got something to physically play with.
That's what I love. I love if you have an instrument hands-on. Standalone, okay, but you can connect it as well to your DAV.
Exactly, yeah. So it's a physically small device. I'm not sure what the exact dimensions are. Again, it's a sort of a larger guitar pedal on its back. It's a reference point. But we kind of pulled off a lot of firsts with this. So this is very much integrated digital controlled analog. So it's two analog oscillators, analog wave folder, analog resonant low pass filter. Then there's an envelope generator, which is in the digital domain, but you can connect it over a USB-C cable to a computer, to a laptop, and the device itself is a class compliant audio and MIDI device. So it means that in additional workflow where you're working with an Ableton Live, we have an expanded virtual interface, which is a function standalone, but it can also run as a VST3 plugin. So it means the sort of interface you can, if you're more coming from electronic music in more of a laptop producers or Ableton Live use case background, like more so than lots of knobs and patch cables, then this is, the C-shell has a very familiar workflow. Like you can use it like you would any other software VST soft synth.
Definitely. I think I've seen it pretty often on the Super Booths this year. Do you think it's a new trend, standalones?
I don't know. I think probably. I feel like I don't think Eurorack's going anywhere anytime soon. I'm quite keen, like now that C-shell's launched, I've got a long long list of modules that I'm in development of that I had to put the brakes on because we had to focus in on the C-shell. But there are a lot of Eurorack modules that I've got in the pipeline as well. But I think being able to produce both and work within both spaces, I think there are things that suit, it's different use cases. I think like people that use Eurorack maybe use it in a very particular way, or it's a different goal, it's a different philosophy to music making.
Yeah. It's the beginning of a new line. Will there be maybe as well a standalone sampler?
I think the sky's the limit. I mean, we've got such a wealth of resource of knowledge on my team because I'm now working with an extensive development team. At this moment in time, Instro is 7 or 8 full-time R&D personnel. Yeah. So we've kind of found ways of working and juggling roles and balancing responsibilities of, like for the C-shell in particular, we had to figure out how do we build a VST instrument front end? How do we do this software interface? And that's not just the logistics of the code base and the functionality, but it's also user interface. So I was able to collaborate with Dom, who I've worked with for years now. So Dom's a graphic designer that's worked as part of the
typical Instro aesthetics.
so I do all the hardware interfacing. So, and I think that I purposely took myself out of the responsibility of doing the software plugin interface because I know how to, I've got a, I guess, a design language at this point of how I position knobs and jacks and faders for hardware, but in a software domain, I don't use VSTs that often. I've got my go-tos that I use when I'm mixing or producing in the box, but a lot of the times I'm personally using Eurorack almost exclusively. So I'm the worst person to design a VST interface. So that's where Dom came on board, and he's a very experienced DJ and producer, so he knows what works in that context. And between the two of us, we were able to, partner, and I did the hardware interface, Dom took over the software interface, and I think it's incredible. He's found a design language which I think is going to set the standard for a lot of future software products.
What's your impression of the Super Bowl this year? Pretty crowded, isn't it?
Pretty busy. Yeah, I think is this the most exhibitors to date this year? Is it like 300 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's It's wild. Like the first super booth I did, I presented, that was the 2017. And that was, I think I booked late because I think I was, I'd maybe just launched the Troika, like my first oscillator. By the time it was just me, I was working from my spare room and running a home-built CNC machine to machine out all the panels so I could do everything small scale. Yeah, I was able to book a late slot at Superbooth, so it was very short notice. I think it was like maybe a month in advance. I got an email back that there was some space, so I was in the entrance hall in the atrium, and that was.
I remember.
Being able to just scale up every single time. So I think even the next year, 2018, that's when I launched the CSL, so the complex oscillator module.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was myself, Key and Adam, like the team was starting to grow, so I had, you know, a few collaborators that I was working with quite closely at that stage, and but being able, you know, having more than just myself manning the booth. I think that first super booth, I had a friend that lives in Berlin, so he was able to come and, you know, keep an eye on things while I could go and get a coffee between. But at this point, we've been doing it larger scale and bringing most of the team. So it's
and your tent was so crowded. Did you have any time to walk around the booth and see something?
A little bit. Mostly, like every super booth I come and afterwards I'm asked, what stood out? What have you seen? I see so little gear because I'm going around and there are a lot of manufacturers that I've known for years. So this is a chance where we get to catch up and hang out, and we all know each other's releasing incredible equipment and new modules and gear, so we can check in on that online later on, so we're all just catching up in person catch-up.
Did something special pique your eye?
There's I've not had a chance to properly hear it, but I've heard whisperings of what it is. There's a friend of mine, Imo Scampa, so he worked with me at Intro for many years. He was in Glasgow based, but he's now based in Italy, but he runs a company called Manifold Research Center. I've collaborated with IMO for many years. We've got the Leon Matrix Mixer module that's on the Intro range. That's one of his co-designs. And there's another one that we started collaborating on years ago, but I think we've made a recent breakthrough, which is related to the C-shell in terms of some hardware capabilities. So we're going to be moving forward with a new design that's based on a collaboration we did. So we're going to continue working together. But he's showing off a new drum machine, like desktop device, which again, like I was saying earlier, desktops maybe become more of a trend. But it's beautiful. I don't know how it works or what it does, but knowing IMO, it's going to be an incredibly powerful.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for having you here, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
It's been very nice. I enjoyed the atmosphere during this interview. The warmth of the sound is really incredible.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
Thanks.
Bye. Super. Short, but on the point. Cool.